Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Roll Up Podcast. It is February the 2nd. It's a Saturday. And I'm here, as always, with my partner, Aaron. I'm Jonathan. We're here to roll up Sports Week for you, the podcast. You know, it's kind of in the name. Sorry about no episode last week. Me and Aaron were busy doing our own things. So it's going to be kind of a bigger video, bigger one. But first, we start with 50-point games this season. There have been 14 of them, and there have been 9 players who have done it. Those players are LaMarcus Aldridge, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, Derrick Rose, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, and James Harden 5 times.
Yeah, and I think that's concerning for the NBA.
Yeah, I think the fact that there's 5 50-point games before the All-Star break for one player. And, I mean, it's obviously helping that Chris Paul and Clint Capella were out for that stretch, but
the reason this is happening is because the system D'Antoni runs. We saw it in Phoenix. Yeah. They want to run up, get the ball, and not really worry about defense. But the D'Antoni offense right now is on steroids.
Yes.
I feel like it's not good for the NBA. We saw earlier this season the Rockets took over 70 threes in one game, which that was at least over half their shots.
Yeah.
And James Harden, yeah, he's on this huge 50-point streak, but also all these points can be contributed to the fact that the refs give him any call he wants, which it's outrageous. It fuels a fucking fight.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, it was, yeah, I know, get mad at me. It was James Harden's fault. It's the NBA's fault that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and the system's kind of designed around Harden. Because, it's obviously, right? You don't see anything that isn't broke. But in the NBA's case, this isn't a broke offense. For the NBA, this is broken. This is like the thing that you'll see on this, like a 2K. It's like a 2K thing. Just run pick and roll.
Well, All-Star Weekend coming up very soon, and starters were announced a couple weeks ago, and reserves were announced pretty recently. So I'll let you go over that.
Yeah. So the captains, the chain, put them under a rock this past 2 years. The NBA All-Star Game is now like a draft. It's not based on conference alignment, which is better.
But it is still. But they still do. It's still conference teams, though. Now.
Yeah, but like no, the teams aren't aligned by conference. But yeah, no, the players are picked conference, but the teams are not. But the top two players, the top players in each conference get to be captains. And LeBron James was the top vote getter in the East, and Giannis in the LeBron's the top. Giannis was the top vote getter in the East. And along with them, Stephen Curry and James Harden were named starters. Kevin Durant, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Joel Embiid, all starters. Obviously, there's some controversy as both Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose won the fan vote but didn't get voted in. We'll get to
Dwayne Wade is still only going to be in the All-Star game, though, because Adam Silver, if you guys didn't know, this is Dwayne Wade's last season, as we all know. This is probably going to be Dirk's last season, too. I mean, do you think this is last season?
But 42 plus.
Yeah, so they're both in the All-Star game as special additions, according to Adam Silver. They'll be drafted in a special third round.
Yes. And in terms of the reserves, there's Kyle Lowry, Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, but he tore his leg. So
D'Angelo Russell is replacing Victor Oladipo in the All-Star game.
D'Angelo Russell is replacing Oladipo, but Oladipo was named a reserve. Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal, Ben Simmons, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Nikola Jokic, Nikola Vucevic, Karl Anthony Towns, and a big one, Anthony Davis. So, obviously, Anthony Davis right now is on the Pelicans. But again, in case you've been living under a rock, he has been.
Before, basically. I just want to say, when the, all the star reserves, there's they did a I don't think they did a very good job this year. Because Kyle Lowry is not an all star this year. He's not.
No, but he's the best.
Chris Middleton's not an all star, but you know they got him in.
Yeah. He's still
good. Yeah.
I like Chris Middleton, but yeah. So Anthony Davis wants out. There's been a few suitors for him, but the main one here is the Lakers and the Celtics. But Anthony Davis's dad basically said that he wouldn't want Anthony Davis to play in Boston because of what they did to Isaiah Thomas and with him being traded for Kyrie.
A lot of people say they're going to get a better deal from the Celtics, but look at the numbers the Lakers court's putting up. Brandon Ingram's outplaying Jason Tatum. Kyle Kuzma's outplaying the entire Celtics end core. Jalen Brown's overrated. Lonzo needs time to develop. I could get a better deal out of the Lakers than they can out of the Celtics.
Yes, but as of now, the Lakers' deal is kind of weak. The initial offers have been underwhelming, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. The Lakers offered Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, and a first-round pick. And the Lakers have limited their offers to the two of the four young players, so Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Josh Hart. There's only two in each deal. And they've resisted more than a single first round.
If you're the Lakers, you're finding any way you can to keep Kuzma or Ingram, at least one of them, if not both of them.
Yeah.
Very hard. I think they just need to lose Josh Hart. I think that they wouldn't lose anything from trading him, at least not much. I think he's going to be a good player, though.
He's a good shooter. But yeah.
I think they need to move on from Lonzo. Have Rondo play point guard.
Yeah.
If they have to give up a bunch of first-round picks to get Anthony Davis and keep Kuzma and Ingram, that's worth it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because they're just not a point guard. That's the only position they won't be set at.
Yeah. And also, another trade. This basically happened in 4 hours. So, Chris Porzingis, he met with the Knicks officials and basically talked about his future with the team and, like, their losing culture and how he didn't like it. And apparently he, like, basically said that he wanted out. And so 4 hours later, trade announcement came in. Dallas Mavericks traded for Kristaps Porzingis. They sent DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews along with Dennis Smith Jr. and received Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and two first-round picks from the Mavericks.
And Kristaps. So,
yeah, and Kristaps. Wait, no. Yes. Yeah, Kristaps.
You really think you forgot what the trade was for? Because this is a historically bad trade. I think this is the Mavericks easily won this trade.
Yeah, and consider the fact that 2 years ago they let Phil Jackson pick Frank Ntilikina, whatever his last name is, over Dennis Smith Jr. because he thought he was going to be the best point guard for the triangle offense, and then they fired him right after. That was one of their biggest mistakes. And so Dennis Smith Jr. is kind of like the player that should have been theirs, and now it's like you have to pay more for it. You see it? Like, you have to trade away your other great star for him. It's confusing, right? Because like the Knicks look like they're in win now mode. They're really, really not.
I don't. Oh, shit. Okay. Well. All right. Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Sure, you can trade for Dennis Smith Jr., but why wouldn't you be trying to sell him? Because you're not going to win. Oh, I guess. I mean, like,
Okay, never mind. I guess because Kristaps requested a trade, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. But, like, Dennis Smith Jr. will probably be in his prime by the time those first from picks get done. And DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews are probably out
after
this year, if not they buy out. the trade kind of makes little sense to me. I'm sure that you could have done other stuff to keep Kristaps. He didn't like say, "I want to trade." He's like, "You're not going to do anything."
Just the fact that they only gave up Kristaps. They also traded Tim Hardaway Jr., who is a very underrated player. He's had a very good season this year.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good player. I don't know why. The fact that they gave up their two best players for pretty much, I would say nothing, but not really that much.
Yeah.
It shows the Knicks are trying to play in free agency, which we've seen it the last few years. We've seen it pretty much for a long time now. Doesn't work.
Yeah, it hasn't worked.
The Knicks cannot attract free agents.
Yeah.
When will they work?
I don't know. They have two max slots for this next offseason, but as you said, this obviously hasn't worked. LeBron is reportedly, after this final game with D-Wade at Staples Center, he sells either here or the Garden. So it obviously hasn't worked with LeBron twice. And what's the last big star to sign with the Knicks? Eddie Curry?
Eddie Curry was traded there.
Oh, I know. But, like, who's – oh, no, I guess it would be Amari. Amari Stoudemire was the last big name to sign with the Knicks.
Does Tyson Chandler count because he won Defensive Player of the Year?
Not really.
He's still a big piece of that 2013 team. That was a good team. They just didn't get it done.
Sure. So Tyson Chandler was their last big acquisition. And, like, they're like, oh, we're going to get Kyrie, we're going to get KD, we're going to get Klay Thompson. It's like, you guys have proven that you guys are horrible with developing players, with having a good culture. You guys blow everything up.
Well, yeah. Well, there's the AD trade saga. There's still a lot of development left. We've got 5 days until the trade deadline. And we'll see what happens with that.
Where do you think he's going? Do you think he's going to L.A., Boston, or another team?
That's the only place I think they'd trade him to is L.A. If it's right now, they'll trade him to L.A., but nowhere else.
Because you can't trade for him until July because Kyrie's on a
rookie. I mean, they could, but they'd have to trade Irving.
Yes.
And the Pelicans are not stupid enough to do that. They know Kyrie wants to re-sign in New Orleans.
I mean, unless it's a three-team trade, yeah, no, I don't think that's happening. Anyway, let's move on. The MLB Hall of Fame was announced, and there's been four inductees: Edgar Martinez at 85%, Mike Mussina slipping in at 76%, and Roy Halladay at 85%. And the first unanimous inductee to the Hall of Fame, Mariano Rivera, with a 100% vote. So I think Roy Halladay and Rivera are pretty obvious. Edgar Martinez was in his last year, so it's good that he got in. Mike Mussina is kind of the odd man out there.
I think he deserves to get in. Mike Mussina's had a pretty good career.
Yeah, he did. He had a really good career, but 76% of the ballot is an interesting number because that's barely in. It's a 75%. Yeah, 75% to get in.
You got to consider it. I'll pull up the stats real quick.
Yeah. And this man, obviously Rivera, the first unanimous inductee, is an important one.
I just want to say, Mussina in this very – one of his best seasons of his career, arguably in the last year of his career with the Yankees in 2008. 20 wins at age 39. But Pete was in Baltimore. He never made an All-Star team with the Knicks. The Yankees. He still was a very good pitcher for the Yankees.
Yeah, he was.
He deserves he almost has 300 career wins. He deserves to be in.
Yeah. And Edgar Martinez is obviously one of the first DHs to get in. Does this open the way for more DHs to get in later, like Prince Fielder, probably?
Yeah. I agree with that. I think they did. That does.
And then Roy Halladay obviously passed away sometime last year, I want to say.
I think it was. And I remember it was a plane crash. But
It was like right. It was like yeah. I was like May or
absolute shame that happened, dude.
Roy Holiday was like that happened. Yeah, Roy Holiday had one of the. He had a postseason no hitter. Yeah, two. No, he only had one. And I mean, I can't really disagree with him these with the four picks. But I will disagree with some with three. Bonds, Clemens, and Kurt Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling all have not been voted in, or all are hovering around 60%. So,
well,
obviously, there's a lot to unpack with
Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. You can make a pretty good case for why they're not in.
Yes, but
that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, the PEDs, but I mean, Curt Schilling.
Let me make a case for Barry Bonds. If we look at Barry Bonds before he started taking PEDs, he's still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think he should at least get in for what he did before he took PEDs. Now, we're going
to say this
with Alex Rodriguez, too, but you can't really make a case for him. He didn't have enough time.
Yeah, and part of the argument I'm going to make is that he took steroids in the steroid area. You can't just wipe out an entire area, an entire era of players just because it's like something that we deem now as
not good. Hall of Fame?
Huh?
Is Mark McGwire in the Hall of Fame? Should be.
Probably. And
let's see.
The one thing I don't get though is the Curt Schilling not being in. Curt Schilling was a great pitcher, really one of the better pitchers of his time, but I think part of the reason why he's not getting in is because he's just a media hard case.
Well, back to what I was saying before, Mark McGwire is not in the Hall of Fame.
Is he not?
No. Huh. You can really tell they don't care for the steroid era. They don't. They just want to move on from it.
Well, sure, but Barry Bonds is probably one of the greatest hitters to walk the earth.
True.
Let's be honest.
Same with McGwire. He's not in.
Yeah, I honestly, just because
man, it's people have home runs in the season, him and Bonds are the only two players that ever done that. Pretty sure.
I don't know. It's a big barrier because all these be bad, and also everyone in that era did it. It's not like it was just those guys. That's a different thing. Like Alex Rodriguez. And it was like, we're clean now. And
well, on the Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
He had, from 97 to 2004, he was an all-star player.
Yeah.
But he was really good. But I don't know if he was a Hall of Famer. He's only had four seasons where he isn't. He only had six All-Star appearances, four seasons where he was in consideration for Cy Young. He got second on that award three times. Yes, he was a big part of the Diamondbacks World Series team and the Boston Red Sox 2004 team. But, yes, his peak was Hall of Fame worthy, but I don't think it was long enough. I think that's the case you can make against Curt Schilling not being in there.
Sure, but I think most of the reason why he's not in, I mean, is because it's the same thing I'm going to say with Terrell Owens, right? He butted heads with the media the entire time. He had Dan Shaughnessy, it's a like an Irish name, Dan with the Boston Globe. He had something with Gary Thome, broadcaster, and ESPN reporter Pedro Gomez over something that he wrote, right? So, I mean, obviously, like, that's part of the reason why, because people are, like, he butted heads with the media a lot. Terrell Owens did it. He was not the most media-friendly, and
at least Terrell Owens is in.
Yes.
He deserved to be in anyways, so.
Yeah.
Well, AJ Pollock signed with the Dodgers, and we're still waiting on Bryce Harper and
Manny Machado
to sign. So what do you think AJ Pollock signing means?
AJ Pollock,
I think we can agree he's not going to Harper's not going to the Dodgers.
Yes, because if you look at the Dodgers' depth chart, Jock Peterson, AJ Pollock, and Cody Bellinger, Enrique Hernandez, Chris Taylor are all basically great outfields that teams would want. And
yeah,
I mean the Chris Taylor thing, like where you can play second, short, like left field, like yeah, that's great. It's good. I mean, I think Cody Bellinger is going to be stuck in right for a lot of this upcoming year, especially with Max Muncy kind of becoming a kind of a god in the and Corey Seager coming back. So
where do you think Harper's gonna go?
Well, if you look at it, obviously he had a meeting with the Padres, but the Padres
I don't think enough to go to San Diego. I really hope he does. That'll kill his career.
I mean, sure. They have Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, Ian Kinsler. They don't really have that big of names, right? But let's assume that they sign Harper and they put him in right field. That brings a lot of prospects.
I can't really compare them to the Knicks, but I just don't feel like they're that good at developing people.
I don't think they are either, which is why I think that if they do sign, they're gonna win.
They have to get a super team. That's the only way a Padres team
can win. Yeah, that's what I'm saying though. If they sign Harper, then Harper basically takes all the corner outfielders and puts them as trade bait for JT Realmuto.
They could also get Manny Machado. That makes them a playoff threat, I think, at the very least. For like a wild card spot. I think they'd be if they get both.
If they get both, and then they probably trade for Realmuto and probably some starting pitches. Because if you look at their starting pitchers, they have like
no one.
Chessy. Yeah, I don't even know who that is. Lauer, Aaron, Nick. Like, they have a bunch of no-names as pitchers. Right?
Well,
so, and their catcher's no-names. I don't know who T. France is. I don't know who their shortstop is or their center fielder is. Like,
well, I think Bryce Harper's going to the Phillies. I think that's pretty reasonable to say at this point.
Bryce Harper to the Phillies? Hold on, let me check the depth chart. I don't know. I guess like it's
that's where it's rumored to go for a long time.
Yeah, I mean the Phillies and right they have McCutcheon now. They have Odubel Herrera. They have Williams.
That would honestly be kind of scary.
Huh?
Does Royce Hoskins play the infield?
Royce Hoskins plays first base, but I think he also plays the outfield sometimes.
Yeah, I think they should go for Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Honestly, and they said they have.
I really don't care how Manny Machado goes, but I think
Manny Machado, he might go to the Padres. He might. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, I can say the same thing with the Phillies, right? You bring in Bryce Harper and you kind of use some young outfielders or young players as trade bait to get Realmuto.
So you're saying that the Lakers are right now.
Basically, I'm saying any team that gets Harper that doesn't have that has a great outfield minus like one player should just sign Harper and just sell their younger prospects to get JT Realmuto. And the Phillies are a great candidate because they have some really great players. They have
Bryce Harper, they're a threat to win the pennant. Would you agree with that?
The Phillies? Oh, they totally are. Are you serious? They totally are. Obviously, the Super Bowl is this week, but first we're going to talk about the NFL Hall of Fame, which got announced today, I want to say. So, wait, was it today? It was today, right? Making that up? I'm making that up, right? Yes, it was today. So, four defensive backs were inducted in. Ed Reed, Champ Bailey, Ty Law, and Johnny Robinson. And Tony Gonzalez and Kevin Mawai, sure, M-A-W-A-E, was inducted along with executives Pat Bowen and Gil Brand. So, obviously, Ed Reed was kind of an obvious choice. He's one of the best cover safeties of all time.
Same with Tony.
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey and Ty Law.
Ty Law is really good.
Yeah. Not Champ Bailey level, but he's still really good.
He's still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Pat Bowlen was a Broncos owner. He has Alzheimer's disease, and he's stepped away from his operations. But, I mean, he probably did some really good stuff to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Gil Brand.
On this list, I agree with. I think they all should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Gil Brand was the Cowboys.
Scout.
Cowboys player personnel from 60 to 1988. So, he has at least, like, two Super Bowls or something. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a 28-year span of you being the Dallas Cowboys player personnel, of building the Dallas Cowboys, basically. And that's a long time.
So, tomorrow, Super Bowl.
Hold on. Before we go on, though, there's a really great story about Ty Law that I read on the Players Tribune, and it's like one of his last careers is when he was with the Jets, but Ty Law met in the Rhode Island parking lot with Bill Belichick to try to get signed to the Patriots before like a week. And you know, like how it used to be, like before cell phones and stuff, like it would be Denny's. You just walk into Denny's and do it, but you couldn't do that with cell phones, so it'd be all over Boston.
Yeah.
And they agreed to a deal, Bill Belichick and Ty Law, but when they and he told Tom Brady, like, hey, I'm pretty sure I got a deal done. But when he gets called back from Bill Belichick, they can't do it on the books. And Ty Law was stubborn and said, okay, well, I'm going to go play for your opponents, the Jets, Thursday Night Football, flew out to New York to play Thursday Night Football against the Patriots, his former team, and picks off Tom Brady. And then they win the game. And it's kind of a good story. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah.
And also, the NFL Honors Award came out. AP Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald. Offensive Player of the Year, Patrick Mahomes. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Saquon Barkley.
What was Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes is the AP Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
And Darius Leonard is the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
That's the linebacker from the Colts.
Yes, he's a really good linebacker from the Colts. The Rookie of the Year was Saquon Barkley, kind of expected. And the moment of the year was when Aaron Rodgers came back against the Bears after, like, his knee injury.
Week one.
And just torched him with one leg.
So did you say MVP?
MVP was Patrick Mahomes, which – It was going to be between Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Donald, basically from half the season. Yeah. Like there's no question.
So, you want to go to the big event tomorrow?
Yes. So obviously we're recording this on a Saturday, and tomorrow is February 3rd, otherwise known as Super Bowl Sunday. And obviously, you know, this is kind of the game. This game's kind of been marred in a lot of controversy between the no call and the leveling of the Rams receiver and the overtime rules. But, well, it's what it is now. It's the Patriots versus the Rams. You can't change that now. So, obviously, the first Tom Brady's in his, like, bajillion straight Super Bowl, and it's against the Rams, who we said last week basically started the dynasty by losing to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots. So I think tomorrow is 13 or 12 years to the day that the Rams lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots.
Dude, it's like 18.
18. Okay, I'm out of control. My brain's not working. Okay, 18. Maybe. How many years? It's to the day.
Deja vu. The Rams did kind of cause the start of the Brady dynasty.
Yes, I think, and I think that they're going to be one time.
End it.
I think the way that this game ends is just like karma for all the Brady Belichick Super Bowls. I think either Brandon Cooks, who the Patriots traded away for a first round pick, catches a game winning touchdown, or the
LA special.
the LA special.
Yeah.
No. The Rams get the ball back in the fourth quarter with like 2 minutes left and drive and make a game winning drive. And or the Rams win in overtime after the Patriots lose the toss, basically the AFC Championship, and the Rams get away with another pass interference. That would just be kind of horrible, though.
Or Greg Zuerlein for a game-winning field goal becomes the next Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, that's what I just said, but yeah.
So, you want to announce the news?
Who do you want? Well, let's see. Who do you want to win?
I mean, I want the Rams to win. I'm afraid I don't like either team, but I don't like Tom Brady, so.
Who do you think is going to win, though?
Rams.
I want the Rams to win.
Aaron Donald. I've heard they're going to double team him all week, but it's not going to work.
If you double team Aaron Donald, Donald can sue is still a person. Just because Aaron Donald's like blown up doesn't mean that Donald can sue isn't good. And I think I want the Rams to win, but I think the Patriots have a great. It's going to be a good game either way you think about it.
Close game, yeah.
Yes. So, FedEx, you might know him as if you read him. FedEx is the guy who won $10 million in the World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers, and then won. And then he won at least $15 million from by betting $8 to $10 million on the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and he got $5 in that run, and now he's at least seven figures on the Rams. But obviously. I mean, it's just one dude who's betting, and he's won a few times. What was his name? So we're wrapping it up here, unless you have anything else to add.
We're going to try and do a Super Bowl special on Monday. No guarantees, but we'll try and recap the Super Bowl.
Yes, no guarantees.
And then some quick hits.
Yes, I'll go first because I have more than you.
Yeah.
I'll use my first two, then I'll say the last three. The last one. So PJ Tucker had a great blunder this last week or so, where it was a free throw by the Knicks, and then Eric Gordon inbounded the ball to someone other than James Harden, and PJ Tucker just kind of like danced around the ball like someone get it. If you click on the link, it'll show up, and then that was just a great play. I think PJ Tucker is a genius on offense. Just Eric Gordon is passing the ball, and then he like just like lets it bounce for a little. And so is the Knicks player. That's the best part. The Knicks player doesn't pick it up instantly. He's just kind of like, "What's going on? What'd I do?"
All right, got it.
And then, yeah, my other one is one of my other ones is Billy Sharp. I have no clue who that is, but he apparently he scored a goal in a soccer game and pulled out Mr. Socko. So if you don't know Mr. Socko is, it's part of a gimmick that was in the WWE Attitude Era by Mick Foley as Mankind. He like pull like the sock out and then he like put it on his hand. He like kind of like rile up the crowd with it and then he stick it in the guy's mouth and that's how he won.
Yeah.
That's accurate. All right. What's your one quick hit, Aaron?
So last night, maybe you've heard of him. You're a college basketball fan. USC signee Isaiah Mobley, 5-star. He dropped a 57-point triple-double, which that's very uncommon on his senior night against Temecula Prep in a 123-37 win for Rancho Christian.
I'm sorry, you said 127-33?
123-37, I believe, was the score.
Jesus. Run up the... He's running up the score!
I mean, you watch the highlights, bro. You'll see what I mean. You'll see why it's a blow. Yeah.
And my final one is... This was at the Royal Rumble, which was a WWE event. They announced that they're bringing back Halftime Heat for the Super Bowl. And if you don't know what Halftime Heat is slash was, basically... During the Super Bowl, WWE would air a 20-minute block of programming that was wrestling. So the first year, it was Mankind versus The Rock in an empty arena for the WWE Championship, which Mankind won. And then the next year, it was like some after footage of the Royal Rumble of that year. I think it had Jeff Hardy. He's a big flippy dude. And also had Stone Cold Steve Austin. And so this year, they're bringing it back. It's a six-man tag team match. Aleister Black, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream versus Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Adam Cole. All those guys are in NXT, and they're also really, really fun to watch. So if you ever get bored with the halftime show because they didn't play Sweet Victory, or after they play Sweet Victory,
I think Five's supposed to play Sweet Victory. They're playing a SpongeBob song. That's all I know.
It's probably Sweet Victory then. So after Sweet Victory plays, you can hop on to YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or the WWE Network if you have it, and watch six really cool dudes do flippy stuff and kill people and basically maim each other. Unless you have anything else, that's all for this podcast.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Roll Up. This is Aaron, and this is my partner,
Jonathan. And we'll see you next week, hopefully, if we don't have anything come up and have us have to make another long video or podcast. See you.